Mr. Independent, Lou Dobbs, and the Lou Dobbs Show.
Good to have you with us. Welcome aboard. My. Al Gore. Let me say that again. It's such an important two words. That would be such important two words. Al Gore. Oscar winner. Nobel Prize winner. And completely at sea when it comes to the issue of, no pun intended, offshore drilling. I mean, this is a guy who is paying very little attention to reality of late. And there is an ideological sort of cocoon that is surrounding him. It is the left wing. There's a group of people on the left who want to really, apparently, destroy the lives of working men and women in this country. Because let's be really, really straightforward about this. Rich people are going to have enough gasoline. Rich people are going to have enough fuel for their homes. And rich people are going to go around clucking righteously about what you should do to conserve with very little regard, if any, for the fact you don't have enough money left after you pay for home heating oil, for gasoline, for food costs, which are just skyrocketing. If you don't have enough food left over to live the kind of life that a middle-class American should be able to live in this country, even in 2008. Now, Al Gore happens to be one of those people. And that's why he says really, really stupid things. And the little liberal darlings in Hollywood, the little leftists who don't have to worry about an education, they didn't get one. They don't have to worry about reality. They don't live in it. That's why they sort of embrace a fellow like Al Gore and make a movie called, what was it, Inconvenient Truth. Truth is always so inconvenient. The irony of the title is that it was so little about truth and mostly just inconvenient. Here's what the former vice president had to say about why we shouldn't be drilling offshore.
It is only a truly dysfunctional system that would buy into the perverse logic that the short-term answer to high gasoline prices is drilling for oil 10 years from now in areas that should be protected.
Can you believe the reaction to that statement? So let's go again. I want you, if you will, with me, please listen carefully to what the man said and that incredible, tumultuous applause to that statement. Here we go.
It is only a truly dysfunctional system that would buy into the perverse logic that the short-term answer to high gasoline prices is drilling for oil 10 years from now in areas that should be protected.
I mean, does that scare you just a little bit? If there's anything that should frighten you, and I don't believe Americans should be ever afraid of anything, I think fear in this country, whether we're talking about fear of terrorism, whether we're talking about fear of ecological disaster, whether we're talking about fear of gang violence, fear is not part of the American makeup. Fear of what to do about a job that we lost, our fear of finding a job tomorrow. Those fears should not be part of our national makeup. But I have to tell you, it is worthy of your concern, if not your fear, that the statement that Al Gore just uttered to tumultuous applause, that should scare, I think, anyone who worries and cares about this nation's future. Here's what he said again.
It is only a truly dysfunctional system that would buy into the perverse logic that the short-term answer to high gasoline prices is drilling for oil 10 years from now in areas that should be protected.
Giving a speech at Constitutional Hall, which is one of the most beautiful buildings in Washington, D.C., by the way, he went on to say that the way to bring gas prices down is to end our dependence on oil and use the renewable sources that can give us the equivalent of a dollar a gallon gasoline. Just one little problem. The former vice president didn't tell us what that fuel is, didn't tell us how to make it. And ignoring the fact that over the course of the past 3 days, crude oil on world markets has dropped by more than 10% ever since President George W. Bush, of whom I am immensely critical on a host of areas, and including energy policy, but having had the guts to lift the executive ban on offshore drilling, we have seen crude oil prices drop by 10%. What will happen if, as he has challenged Congress to do, that Nancy Pelosi and Senator Harry Reid have the courage to admit they're wrong and that we have to begin drilling offshore, that we have to begin relieving the price and the pain of working men and women and their families in this country and take on an urgent mission to develop and exploit oil and natural gas offshore and anywhere we find it in the continental United States. That oil, by the way, required by law to be used in the U.S. markets. That will change the world equation. Is it the sole answer? Obviously not. No one is claiming it is the sole answer. But it is part of the answer and every element of the answer to providing for the prosperity of this economy, for the well-being of our middle class and our working men and women, and assuring that the next generation of Americans will not have to tolerate leaders who waste and fritter away 35 years in developing an energy policy. If we can assure that doesn't happen, we've gone a long way toward assuring the destiny and the promise of this country for the next generation of Americans. But we have to stop the nonsense. We have to stop accepting the idea as uttered by former Vice President Al Gore, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, or presumptive presidential candidate Barack Obama, that there's nothing we can do now. There is a host of answers that simply require innovation and energy and, yes, leadership. And by the way, it wasn't Barack Obama, the candidate of change, who first called for drilling offshore. No, it was that 71-year-old fella that the national news media makes fun of for being too old who called for drilling offshore. We're going to be talking about that and a great deal more in the course of this hour. We're going to be talking with Congressman Ed Royce about other idiocies emanating from the nation's capital. But first, let's review again energy, politics, and leadership.
There's a whole ocean of oil under our feet.
So today I've issued a memorandum to lift the executive prohibition on oil exploration in the OCS. With this action, the executive branch's restrictions on this exploration have been cleared away. This means that the only thing standing between the American people and these vast oil resources is action from the U.S. Congress.
Low gas.
If we could only drill offshore, the economy would be better. That is a poor excuse from a president of the United States.
Low gas.
What I support is lifting the federal ban on us even having the opportunity to make that decision ourselves. Now, whether or not it's going to make a difference as it relates to energy and the crisis we're in right now, I believe that it could.
Low gas.
I have no interest in offshore drilling off the state of California.
Low gas.
I urge Senator Obama to change his position on offshore drilling and support it. We need it, and it's very badly needed now.
Low gas.
There is no way that allowing offshore drilling would lower gas prices right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, if I say I'm an oil man,
low gas.
Low gas. Well, I'll make another prediction. I've made one already on this, and I've said that the Democrats are going to simply have to change their position. Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, Al Gore, they simply have to adapt to a new reality, and that reality is an urgent, desperate need to bring online every available source of energy to reduce the crushing burden that is being placed on working men and their women and their families in this country, on our middle class, and the next generation of Americans. It's time to end the ideological nonsense. It is time to end the partisan blather. It is time to confront the inconvenient truth that we desperately need to relieve that pain in our society, and to do so as quickly as possible to absolutely assure energy independence with sustainable, renewable alternate energy sources, but also using every available fossil fuel that we have, and to do it soon. We're going to be talking about reason, rationality, and, oh yes, the facts. The facts in America, 2008. I'll be talking with one of the best in Congress, Congressman Ed Royce, here on the Lou Dobbs Show next. And we invite you to have your voice not only heard, but listened to on the Lou Dobbs Show. Give us a call on the independent hotline, 877-55-DOBBS, 877-55-DOBBS. We're here to serve the independent nation.
We want the independent nation to take part in the national conversation. Give us a call toll-free at 877-55-DOBBS.
Hello, this is Lou Dobbs. You're listening to The Lou Dobbs Show, streaming live on the Internet. We'll be back in just a few moments.
independent voice to our broadcast. Call 877-55-DOBBS.
Welcome back. We're about to talk with Congressman Ed Royce. He is, in my opinion, one of the outstanding members of Congress. He's a senior member of both Foreign Affairs and the Financial Services Committees. And yesterday, the House Appropriations Chairman David Obey said, while he hasn't shut down the appropriations process for the year, he isn't saying what he will be doing and which of the spending plans and spending bills he is going to complete. Joining us now, Congressman Ed Royce. Congressman, good to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Lou. Good to be with you.
Well, what's going on down there? It sounds like some work is not going to get done.
Well, we've got 220 years now since the establishment of our Constitution passing out appropriations bills. As you know, there's 13 major appropriations bills that cover, you know, everything from defense to transportation to commerce, justice, science. And these are not moving. And this is the first time in history that we've gone this far without any of these moving in the House of Representatives. Everything's just on autopilot. And the assertion that has been made is that because there might be amendments which would call for drilling of oil.
Oh, no, not drilling for oil.
In the United States. Or something like keeping the National Guard troops that were on the border there.
No, we wouldn't want that either. That was working too well.
That was working. And so the leadership in the Senate has decided that rather than allow appropriations bills to come before the United States Congress, and this is in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 9 says that, you know, all of these appropriation bills to fund the United States government are supposed to originate in the House. Instead, they're apparently going to wait until the end of the year, put forward one big omnibus bill.
Oh, boy.
And prevent any of this. Now, yesterday, we had testimony from the Federal Reserve Chairman that said, if you just allowed drilling, if you just allowed an increase of 1% of oil supply in the United States, he said supply is so tight that prices would go down by 10%.
Well, I've got a news flash for Ben Bernanke, the Fed chairman. Guess what's happened ever since President Bush lifted the executive ban on offshore drilling? Crude oil has dropped by more than $14 a barrel. It's just this week. Light sweet crude oil now at $130 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. My gosh. I mean, the Fed chairman needs to understand it's already happening. Can you imagine what would happen if the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, and the Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid, and the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee, Barack Obama, actually had the guts to say we were wrong? Let's get to it and help working men and women and their families in this country deal with the crushing burden of high energy prices.
And here's what's interesting. We don't even need them to vote for it because we have the votes between Republicans and more conservative Democrats that would vote for it. We have a majority of the votes in the House to do this. But the Democratic leadership are on the left, and they're just as ideological, you know, as the president is on this you know, border security, this open border stuff.
Instead of allowing
common sense votes and amendments, which the people actually want, and which, and very importantly, in which people could pressure their members of Congress and say, yes, we want to see some of these bans lifted. We want to see a little bit more oil production in the country. Or, yes, we want to see the National Guard staying on the border. Instead of the elites that are running this operation allowing the people's voice to be heard, they're closing it down so that at the end of the year, in a closed-door meeting between them and the president, they can make all the decisions.
Well, we've got a little surprise for Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid because, we know how much here on the Lou Dobbs Show. We know just exactly how much they really enjoy and love hearing from the people they represent. So what we're going to do here is we're going to ask the Independent Nation. We're going to put up on the website the addresses and the appropriate names for the representatives and senators in each state and district that they can kind of let know. Our folks can let our Congress know, because that's what Congress is all about, right, Congressman?
Well, absolutely.
Representing the will of the people, doing the people's business. So I'm sure they're just going to be thrilled
and
to hear from all of us.
And I don't think that the leadership has done a very good job of that since Nancy Pelosi became Speaker. The price of oil has doubled.
Right.
Now, we have a way to drive that price down, but it's not by blocking access to any new nuclear.
Yeah, but I got to be fair here.
Yes.
The price of oil has done what since President Bush was elected president?
Right. It's
sixfold.
Yep.
Good
exactly.
Lord.
So what we need is not only blocking access to oil and gas, mm-hmm. nuclear, allowing that to go forward, allowing the oil shale. You know, we've got 250 years worth of barrels of oil out of
Hey, we've got shale. The resources.
Yeah.
There's,
exactly.
There's no question about it. What we don't have is leadership.
There you go.
And we got a bunch of people living, I mean, you know, and we've got the these crazy people on the left and these crazy people on the right. We need a bunch of really concerned, engaged, involved Americans in the middle where most of us live to get something done.
And if the Constitution is allowed to work, which is to say if there's an amendments that are allowed to be brought up to the floor on the appropriations bills that go forward so that you can actually vote on these things, then the American public can pressure their legislators.
I believe the listeners of this broadcast will help in that regard because we are in the independent nation all about this Constitution. Congressman Ed Royce, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Lou.
Wish you all the best. We'll continue here on the Lou Dobbs Show in just one moment, talking to you. This is Lou Dobbs, and don't move away from your computer. The Lou Dobbs Show will be back in just a moment. Thanks for being with us.
The Lou Dobbs Show. Give him a call at 877-55-DOBBS.
Welcome back. I have to say, one of the things going on right now, if you weren't paying really careful attention over the past couple of weeks, you would think that only ethnocentric special interest groups would be allowed to vote in this presidential election. Over the course of the past couple of weeks, Senators Obama and McCain have had three separate occasions in which they've appeared before so-called Hispanic or Latino activist organizations. And pander isn't even the word for it. By the time these groups got through listening to Senator McCain and Senator Obama, I'm surprised there was room for those people to get out of the room. Their heads had to be so big. They had to be so full of themselves. Of course, in the case of La Raza and Janet McGeer, their leader, you know, that's kind of sort of a normal condition. But in recent weeks, just listen to this. At the annual La Raza conference in San Diego, Senator Obama not only explained how La Raza doesn't mean the race in Spanish, he said it means the people. The people in Spanish is la gente. La Raza means exactly what it says, Senator. It means the race. Sorry, no sale. But listen to what Senator Obama told the La Raza audience. Quote, "The Latino community holds the election in its hands." My gosh. McCain, for his part, he just simply said, you know, it's going to be a close election, but he said it will ultimately be decided by states with large Hispanic populations. The Obama campaign also announcing it's going to spend more money courting votes on Latino television and radio than has ever been spent on a presidential campaign. I mean, it's incredible what these folks are doing. By the way, you other 280 million Americans, don't worry. You're going to get a vote. It just won't count, apparently, with Senator Obama in particular, or Senator McCain, for that matter. So let's go to the phones. We want to hear from you. 877-55-DOBBS, 877-55-DOBBS, the independent hotline. Let's go to the phones right now. Carl in Indianapolis, you're on the Lou Dobbs Show, and we're delighted to have you with us.
Oh, I got a great follow-up to just what you just said, and
okay.
Congressman Royce. I would like you to help prove that it's not just immigration-related legislation that's being held hostage by the ethnocentric and open borders left-wing faction. Every bit of populist kitchen table domestic legislation is being held hostage. And I think a prime example is universal health care,
right.
Universal health insurance, because if you ask, and I'd like you to ask every single Democratic representative or, you know, strategist, anybody come on your shows, you know, associated with the Democratic Party, a question.
Right.
Would they support universal health care if it did not include quote-unquote undocumented workers?
Oh.
Because they have completely sabotaged the whole debate over universal health care over this issue. And in fact, you know,
Carl, I've got to say to you, you know, you've got a great point. You've got a great point.
Yeah. They're going to argue, well, you know, maybe we won't include undocumented workers. But unless they include some kind of validation against the Social Security number using the Secure ID, they're not being honest either. Because what happened on the S-CHIP legislation, which was supposed to be the absolute guaranteed promise of the 2006 election, they let that thing die because they were not willing to put a Social Security validation on that. That should have passed.
Oh, absolutely.
They should have been able to override that veto.
Look, I'm an independent, Carl, and I've got to tell you, I've got very little use for either one of these political parties. I look at them as being basically the opposite wings of the same bird, and you know who I think is getting the bird in this country. That's you, me, our middle-class working men and women, and both of these political parties. They talk nonsense from the left. They talk nonsense from the right. But what you're saying is absolutely correct. We have an E-Verify system that all that has to happen tomorrow is for an executive order not to make it voluntary, but to make it compulsory. and to put in a robust system to support it. And it will, by the way, and the Congressional, the Government Accountability Office has verified this, it's 99.5% effective in lining up Social Security cards with identification, and employers would have this available to them immediately if they really wanted to stop the hiring of illegal aliens, the illegal hiring of illegal aliens in this country. You couldn't be more correct.
And if you can't afford health insurance, private health insurance, you'd be able to buy into Medicare and use your Social Security number and have a secure ID in order to receive benefits.
By the way, you do know what's happening in that instance. We have the Democratic Party is fighting very hard for there to be no checking whatsoever of residence and immigration status to use those welfare programs, those social safety net programs, because they want it available to illegal aliens, and they don't care what it is costing American citizens in this country. I mean, I truly believe this is going to explode in the face of the Democratic Party, and I don't think that it's going to take that long. I think it'll happen well before the election.
Change the format of the convention to make it some great big open borders multiculturalist lunatic fest. It's going to go over like the Shiki night at the McGovern convention.
Oh, well, I believe that they run this very big risk because basically what the Obama campaign has been saying here for some weeks now is, you know, if you happen to be not in the Democratic left, you're probably going to be left out. So it'll be interesting to see. Carl, that was a great point. Appreciate it. Give us a call, 877-55-DOBBS, the independent hotline, 877-55-DOBBS. We want to hear from you. Let's go right now to Richard in San Francisco. You're on the Lou Dobbs Show.
Hey, Lou, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing good, Richard, but your phone is sounding shaky.
The Bluetooth and make you do that out here now.
Uh-oh.
They run us everywhere.
Well, we'll see if we can handle it. Go for it.
Okay, I just had a quick one here about your oil topic.
Sure.
That I think we should be looking at ANWR, which a lot of people do, because a state like Alaska is ready to go in there right now. They could have the oil out of there within 5 years with very limited damage to the ecosystem. They've proved that they can do it
right, and
do it very well.
Absolutely.
I think this country needs to be looking at that because that's one of our main assets that is accessible right now. We can get to it. This country doesn't realize that it needs oil to wean itself off of oil.
We've got to have a transition. We have to have a transition because the real desperate need here, frankly, is to wean ourselves of dependency on foreign oil, which is bankrupting us individually and as well as collectively. We've got to stop it, and we have got to stop it now.
Exactly, and a lot of people don't realize that less than 50% of the oil we consume is for gasoline. The other people for us to produce all the stuff that we use every day.
It's one of the reasons that Boone Pickens is asking for us to bring online as much natural gas as possible. We have over 600 trillion cubic feet of natural gas in this country. If we were converting to cars, transportation to natural gas, I mean, we would have sufficient energy resources to last for a very long time. By the way, people don't want to note this in the fossil fuel. Natural gas is so efficient. It is a clean fuel and is a wondrous, wondrous alternative if we can get it online as we seek sustainable, renewable alternate energy sources.
Exactly, like we use natural gas to heat our houses out here.
Sure.
Back east, they still use oil.
Absolutely.
That transition should be a no-brainer. It should be moved in and transitioned to natural gas.
Yep. Well, that's that takes leadership and it takes some guts, and we're short on both right now in Washington D.C. Richard, we appreciate your call. Thank you very much, and we're going to be taking more of your calls here on the Lou Dobbs Show. Get on the independent hotline, 877-55-DOBBS. Make sure your voice is heard. We'll be going all around the country when we return. Stay with us.
We want want your voice heard on the Independent Hotline, give us a call. 1-877-55-DOBBS.
Did I mention how much fun I've been having driving General Motors cars over the last couple of months? The last couple of weeks I've been driving GM's new small crossover, the Saturn View Hybrid. And I have to tell you, it's a nifty little car and it gets an EPA estimated 25 miles to the gallon and more than 30 miles to the gallon on the highway. Now that, I'm talking about handling when I say nifty. I'm talking about styling, but it's pretty nifty to get that kind of gas mileage, I assure you. The Sporty Hybrid even has two modes for air conditioning. That helps improve fuel economy. A light and instrument panel tells me when I'm beating the EPA estimated miles per gallon. It also tells me when I'm not. That does happen occasionally, unfortunately. And the car helps me think about driving more efficiently all the time. Our friends at General Motors are working on a lot of new technologies to help us use less gasoline. GM building a limited number of these new Saturn View hybrids. I think you'll be impressed. I know I was. So for more information, go to our website, LouDobbsRadio.com. Or for more on the Saturn View Hybrid, go to GM.com. Hello, this is Lou Dobbs. You're listening to The Lou Dobbs Show, streaming live on the Internet. We'll be back in just a few moments.
It's the Lou Dobbs Show. Democrats and Republicans welcome.
Great to have you with us. As we continue, we're going straight to the phones. Let's go to first Joanne in Castro Valley, California. Joanne, you're on the Lou Dobbs Show. Welcome.
Hi, Hi, how are you today?
Good, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I just wonder, because you call yourself, you're an independent, right?
I sure am.
Okay, then how come you just keep spouting the Bush-Cheney position on give the oil companies whatever they want?
Oh, I see. So what should I do here? Am I spouting the Bush-Cheney position, say, on the war in Iraq? Am I spouting the Bush-Cheney position on the economy? Am I spouting the Bush-Cheney position on regulation of markets? Am I spouting the Bush-Cheney line on illegal immigration? Am I spouting the Bush-Cheney line on border and port security? Am I spouting the Bush-Cheney line on FISA and warrantless wiretapping? What are you talking about?
Well,
what are you talking about? Is suddenly energy an ideological and partisan issue? Come on, give us all a break.
Why are you yelling at me?
Because you said I'm spouting the Bush-Cheney line.
On oil, yes.
Oh, well, I see. How about this? Which line are you?
Can I just ask you one question?
Sure.
I don't want to get in a fight with you.
Come on.
Question.
Okay, what is it?
Don't be rude.
Well, don't be silly, because I am not sitting here listening to somebody tell me I'm spouting the Bush-Cheney line on anything.
On oil.
Oh,
but I just want to know, I know you're a lot younger than I am, but I remember Santa Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember what happened. And you can still go down to Santa Barbara today and see the oil rigs off the thing and smell the oil when the wind is blowing in the right direction. And I just wonder if you remember how that decimated the coast.
I do remember. And I remember Exxon Valdez. And by the way, do you know what percentage of oil in the water is the result of man-made spills? What percentage of oil in the water is from man-made spills?
Santa Barbara, and I don't want that to happen again.
No, I don't either.
I live in California, and I love the ocean.
Sure, and I do too. And you know what? I love my fellow citizens too, and I love every American who works for a living, every man, woman, and child in this country who deserves energy independence and has the right to build a life and a quality of life without having to spend 30-40% of their family budget and ship it to either Venezuela or the Middle East.
I think drilling off the coast would really change that. What's
I sure do. By the way,
about all the oil leases.
Okay, you ask why I was yelling. Think about this as you gaze out over the ocean. Right now, just since George Bush, and by the way, there's never been a president I've been more critical of, but since he lifted the executive ban that his father put in place in 1990, in 3 days, crude oil prices have dropped by 10%. And if Congress lifts that ban, they will drop, I believe, 30-40% from here.
Mr. Dobbs, what about...
I'm going to have to run.
Okay. I just wanted to know, what about the oil company leases that they're not drilling? Why don't they use those and leave the coast alone?
Well, those leases, by the way, are on the coast. It's the offshore of the continental shelf. And that has nothing to do with the price, frankly, of oil. We have to have a national energy policy, not run by the oil companies or for the oil companies. And by law, that oil would be required to be placed on the U.S. domestic market. So the impact would be significant, and it would be soon. Joanne, thanks a lot. And if I yelled at you, I'm sorry, darling, but when I'm accused of spouting the Bush-Cheney line, sometimes I lose my manners. Let's go right now to Chris in Chicago. Chris, you're on the Lou Dobbs Show.
Hi, Lou.
How are you?
I'm good. Listen, the House was voting on what they're calling the drill it or lose it bill.
Uh-huh.
And I was listening to Nancy Pelosi.
Mm-hmm.
And in her usual style, she was condemning the president.
Oh, yeah.
And the Republicans.
Sure.
And
she doesn't have an idea. That's all she can do.
Yeah. And the oil companies.
Right.
And she brought up especially the issue of, you know, the oil companies not drilling on this acreage that they already have.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with anything.
All right. So I don't believe that she's going to change her position.
Yeah, I think she is, because I think the American people are going to let her know just how silly she's being. You see, it's like the previous caller. The previous caller thinks this is a Democrat or Republican issue, a liberal or an independent or a conservative issue. No, this is an American national interest issue. And for crying out loud, we've got so many people so consumed by their partisanship and their ideology that they don't even understand what the national interest is. They don't even understand what the common good is. Look, as I said earlier, rich people are going to have gasoline for their big cars. Working men and women in this country, who are the backbone of this country. Our middle class is what this country is all about. The middle class requires help here. It is in the national interest. It's in the interest of our middle class. Let's get it done. It's part of the solution. It isn't the entire solution, but it's part of it, and we've got to move ahead.
Well, I think that the American public, or the citizens,
right,
should be calling into the Congress and saying, you know, you shouldn't be leaving Washington until you solve this problem.
Oh, absolutely. But you know what?
Do not recess.
Chris,
everybody needs to get on the telephone right now,
right,
and tell them.
All right, I'm going to say this to the independent nation listening to you. You just heard Chris. I think she's right. Let's all do it. Let our congressmen and our senators know what in the world we expect of them. And for a change, we expect them to act in the national interest and to act with solidarity and not with partisan nonsense. Let's go very quickly now to Brian in Santa Cruz. Good to have you with us. Speaking of Santa Barbara area.
Hi, Lou. Love your show, TV and radio. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
I thought about all this, and I realized it doesn't matter who wins or loses. They're just not going to do anything for us. So I came up with the only solution I could see, and that is a two-pronged thing. Every angry American should vote for anyone, any third party, but not for a Democrat or a Republican.
You know what? That's a very tempting idea. I have to say, until we hear something from these guys that makes some sense, I couldn't agree with you more. I cannot imagine how we've gotten ourselves in this mess. 300 million of us, and we get these two fellas up to represent the independent nation, the middle class, the great values and ideals of this nation. How in the world did we get here? We'll be figuring that out. And everybody on the phone, hang on. More hours to come. On the Lou Dobbs Show, we thank you for listening, and we love to hear your voice.
Hey,
this is Lou Dobbs, and don't move away from your computer. The Lou Dobbs Show will be back in just a moment. Thanks for being with us.
Now.